Hallelujah. I just want to share one very short thought with you. If you would turn to, I'm going to share more on Wednesday because certain things should not be said till the new year. But 2 Kings chapter 2, I just want to share one thing that the Lord said to me this week when I was praying. 2 Kings chapter 2. And you know this timeline that we've been following for a long time. Remember that the overview, I'll share more on Wednesday, but the overview is a David parallel, the macro. The micro is the more specific instructions is an Elisha timeline parallel. And we were in a house, in the basement of a house. Lorraine doesn't like me saying that, but it was a beautiful basement on St. Barbara. But God said to me, he said, you're in the cave of Adullam.
Yeah.
She doesn't like me saying that, but you got to just agree with God, Lorraine. Because it wasn't a cave, but God saw it. We were like, we were secluded. We were isolated. Nobody knew. We weren't advertising. We didn't have a website. Nobody knew where we were. But for a season of time, and he said that was like that season that David was. And then we went from there into a season, came into this building, but it was still, the building wasn't as important as the seasons, the timings of heaven, and that was called the zigzag season. And that season went basically all the way up until 2020. And we were in that season, and there was it was a preparation season for that mantle. And he was watching how we were praying about it, how we were talking about it, how we were treating it, how we were treating each other. There was a lot of things that we had to qualify. I'm not going to get into all of that, but there really was a, remember he showed me in the spirit that race with the 4x100 relay. And when you start to run, you got to have that baton before you hit a certain mark or you disqualify. So you can't go too fast. You can't go too slow. And there was a qualifying season. That really was a qualifying season for us. Really that led up to ultimately 2020, but it really led up to 2016. Now, 2016 for me was 25 years in pulpit ministry. And that's when we had a celebration and I got my family crest ring and Jennifer came up on the stage and knelt down and something that will never happen again in this life or the life to come. You know, she kissed that ring and that picture has gone around the world. But she erased it from my phone. So if any of you have that picture, I need you to send it to me because she's gone through to erase. She doesn't want any evidence of this action. But and I sense, Jennifer, there's something changing. I kept saying that something's different. There's something, and I thought it was 25 years. It's a marker. So I thought, well, something's, but it wasn't really anything about the 25 years, so to speak. It was about that this, from the season of 2010, when doctors saw that mantle, even though we were only marked, we hadn't received it yet. We had a 6-year period where he was watching how we would act, how we would talk, how we would, and I won't get into all the details, but I have ministered this before at other times. But he wanted us to see how we were talking about and treating that. Because the previous church that had that mantle never talked about it ever.
Yeah.
I was there. I never ever heard it mentioned. I didn't even know that they had even had that experience until Dr. Dufresne told me that he'd had that experience there. Because the pastors did not value what was spiritual in that capacity. They valued other things, but they didn't value in that capacity. And so the Lord gave us 6 years to see how we would respond to Dr. Dufresne's vision. And I believe that we did a good job. And then at the end of 16, I just thought it was a 25-year marker, but it wasn't. Something was changing in the spirit. That's why there was that sense something's changing. And then I had no idea what was changing. I just knew something was changing. But then that was in October. Then on January 17th, 2017, basically all night long from the late night, and then Jenny eventually went to sleep, and I just kind of went right through till 6 in the morning, and that whole night, God spoke to me. Yeah. I remember we were at the house before that we're in now, and I was in that little living room, and the presence of God showed up in that room, and all night long, he spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And that's when he started. He didn't reveal it all then, but that's when he started revealing about the David timeline.
Yeah.
And about the Elisha timeline, which is a micro within the macro of David. And then later on, he talked about the vineyard timeline, which is the 3 years of death, et cetera, et cetera. And then he added the Samaria timeline, which, so there's a lot of different, and you can't really make this stuff up. Because I'm not smart enough to try to make all these things fit. But God brought it, like he layered it. And they all match perfectly. They're totally different things in the word, but they match perfectly. And I'm going to share a little bit more on Wednesday night about the long-term future, about what is coming in the years to come. Because he's given me some of the final puzzle pieces. You ever done a puzzle and there's just some ones you just can't find? And it doesn't feel complete until those pieces click. Well, just this last week, he started to show me some last pieces for the long-term future about leading into Jerusalem and what that means and the year that's going to happen. And I was a little off on some things because my timing was off on some things because I wasn't seeing things the way that I should have seen certain things. So he brought some tweaking this week and he brought some puzzle pieces. I'll share that on Wednesday. But all I want to share very briefly tonight is that in this season that changed in end of 16, that 25-year marker, it was nothing to do with the 25 years. Something in the spirit was changing. Why? I didn't know it at the time, but God knew that 2017 was dawning. And 2017, even though I didn't know it at the anniversary service in October the year before, he knew that something very important was going to start in 2017, which he revealed later in that year. But how that year was, which he did reveal at the beginning of that year was the year of Bethel. And it was a parallel between Elisha and Elijah when he said, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I shall not leave thee. So would you read with me 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. That's where they were. Yeah. Now what does Gilgal represent? It represents a place of consecration. Because Gilgal is where they were circumcised. You enjoyed my joke this morning. Did you all enjoy the joke? Because some of you I think got offended at the joke. Don't be offended. Have fun. Don't be religious. Okay, but Gilgal is where they were circumcised. What does that mean? Well, a physical, that's an act, but it represents something. Okay, we are circumcised of the heart, Paul says. It represents cutting things away out of your life and basically committing yourself in a higher and deeper way to God and taking things of his plan seriously. You don't, and then for people to do that, you know, and listen, Gilgal... There were well over 2-3 million people coming out of Egypt. Yeah. That shows me that not all of them were being circumcised in Egypt. No. That shows me they weren't taking the covenant seriously in Egypt. That shows me they weren't taking what it symbolizes, they weren't taking spiritual ordinances seriously. Yeah. Now, if you remember, Moses on his way to Egypt, he's on his way. He's stopping in like what we would call like a hotel kind of thing. And the Lord says, the Bible says that God showed up to kill him. Yeah. Do you read your Bible? Yeah. The angel of the Lord showed up to kill Moses. Yeah. Moses, the one that just had the burning bush experience. The one that now is the staff. The one that's going to deliver the people. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord showed up to kill him. Yeah. And the reason why he was going to kill him, because Moses would not circumcise his son. And his wife, Zipporah, is that her name? She was carnal bucket. And she didn't want, remember, she didn't worship his God at first. She did, but she worshiped other gods. And she didn't want this crude, vulgar, Jewish custom happening to her boy, who's now a teenager. And because he did not stand up, listen to this. He did not stand up to his wife and say, not that you... trying to be a tyrant or a dominator. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when you know what God is saying and your spouse is saying something else, you better open your mouth and have a voice. Yeah. Yeah. And he did not say to her, I don't care, sweetheart. Zippy, that's what he called her, Zippy. Zippy, I don't care whether you like it or not. Tough luck. Put him on the table, drop his britches, I'm getting the knife. That's what he should have said. But instead, he said, oh, Zipporah, darling, whatever it is in your heart, we'll do. And the angel of the Lord showed up to kill him. Because he could not go in to deliver people taking spiritual things lightly. Do you understand? He was a leader. He had to lead by example with his own children. Now, he would have been because as a child, he was born a Jew. But his child wasn't. You read that on your own. The point is that when they went, if he was not taking it seriously, can you imagine how many of the 2-3 million people weren't taking it seriously? Right. Do you understand? That's why when they come into the new land, God is saying, listen now, you're coming into a new phase, a new promised land. The old days are gone. Something new is coming. The first place they went was Gilgal when they crossed the Jordan. Before they ever took Jericho, they went to Gilgal. Why? Because they had to be circumcised. Why? Because they hadn't done the right things in Egypt. Why? They didn't take spiritual ordinances seriously. God was saying, you better take this seriously. And you can't go, my power won't go with you into that, these battles that you have got to fight against giants. And you're going to need miracle upon miracle upon miracle. I can't do that if you don't even follow basic covenant procedures. So Gilgal was a place of consecration. It was a place of taking things seriously. It was a place of getting priorities right and cutting other things away. Our Gilgal experience really was from the time doctor saw the mantle in 10 until the end of 16. We had 6 years of a consecration season. That's really what it was about. And if you look at this, Elijah and Elisha started their journey in Gilgal. They were in Gilgal before they went to Bethel. We were in Gilgal before we started the 2017 journey. I'm trying to show you parallels because it's astonishing. And you don't even, I didn't even know this at the time. But over time, God has me look back and now the pieces fit so perfectly. We were in that season of, this is serious. What he said about the mantle, what he said about the assignment on this church, it's serious. Are you going to take it seriously? Or are you going to slack off and just disregard? Because it is that you got to consecrate yourself to that plan. You got to take those spiritual things very seriously. You got to pray it out. You got to talk about it. You got to commit to it. See, that all represents this time of commitment and spiritual getting the distractions out and focusing. We went through 6 years of Gilgal. Now we're in Gilgal. God stamps us with his stamp, said, what I needed to see in your attitude about these things, about these spiritual things. And he gave that previous church a long time, a lot longer than 6 years. But they did not handle it right. That's why he said, I'm taking it off them and I'm putting it on you. You don't handle things right long enough, God will take things off you. Do you hear me? If you don't handle things right in your personal life, God will take things off you and give it to somebody else. You don't get a pass just to make him wait forever. His mercy is long, but it does come to an end. It came to an end for that church in terms of this assignment. He gave us 6 years to see if we were taking it seriously. To see if we were consecrating ourselves to this assignment. If we were cutting off, so to speak, our own ideas and our own flesh. And to say, Lord, we are committed. We are completely consecrated, separated, and committed to you. We are going to do this. Just show me how, and I'll do it. And that's really what I remember those years. I said, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what I'm doing. I would say that to my wife. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know this thing that he says, big vision and the stuff, and stresses me out. I don't understand. What am I supposed to do with that? I don't understand. But I just kept, no, I just knew. The Holy Ghost said, just talk about it. And just pray about it. And just show honor for it. And that's what, that was me. That was me showing him. I'm cutting away my opinions. And I'm wholeheartedly all hog in for this thing. Although I don't really know what it means or how we're going to do it, but and that was the Gilgal years. Now we're in Gilgal and a new season begins. I'm going somewhere with this. Just be patient with me. Now he says we're starting in Bethel. So you see that they were from Gilgal. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. See, biblical leadership is not the way that people talk about it today. Biblical leadership is, I don't need you. It's not, oh, you're so great. Come. Let me build you up. Yeah. If you need that, you'll never make it. No. Biblical leadership is not always that encouraging, although it has encouraging moments. But it's to see, do you really recognize who I am in your life? Because if I need to build you up all the time, then you don't really recognize who I am. A true person that recognizes, they get to that person through thick or thin, whether it's inconvenient or not, whether the person offends them or not. They're there. Because they realize this is bigger than your personality or my personality. It's about my call. Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Now he's going to on a journey to Bethel. And this is our 2017. This was our first. That's why the season ended. That's why I sensed something was ending, but I didn't know what it was. Oftentimes you sense things, you don't know what they are. The Lord revealed them over time. And then I realized the Gilgal is ending. And now this journey begins. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Know that the Lord will take, knowest thou that the Lord will take your master from your head today? They even picked up he was going to leave. And he said, Yes, I know, hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. See, he repeated that covenant. So they came to Jericho. That was our 2018 year. 2017, Bethel, God did a lot of speaking, a lot of revelation. 2018, a lot of things in this ministry began. The Africa work, a lot of things started. Jericho represents first, it's the beginnings. It's the first place that they attacked when they came into the land of promise. And he says, they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet, you know that, he repeats it in verse 5. In verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And the 50 sons of the prophets and 50 of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Now remember, this is our 2019 year. We're on a journey. Every destination is a year. That's what the Lord said to me. I mean, I would like it to be 6 months, but it was a year. He said every destination is a year. And that all represents something. And in this, anytime you cross a Jordan, and see, the Bethel means a little differently on the way there than it does on the way back. But going across Jordan, we were going across a threshold into a plain of Jordan. We were crossing a river. And in that year, I'm not going into all the details, but there was a lot of details I gave in 2019, what it meant symbolically. Every time there was a new season about to dawn, they crossed Jericho. Jesus went through the waters of Jericho. A new season of his ministry was about to dawn. The children of Israel went through Jericho. A new season of freedom in the land of promise was about to dawn. When Jacob, it had been in Laban's house, he came through Jordan. Did I say Jericho or Jordan? I'm trying to say Jordan. If I said Jericho, I mean the river Jordan. Jacob, when he left Laban after all those 17 years and he came, remember when he wrestled with the Lord, he crossed the Jordan. Anytime you cross that river, it's symbolic. Something new is about, it's about to happen. And so we were 2019 in that Jordan year, crossing that river, going through a threshold, because in 2020, something was about to happen. And that's what it symbolized. See, we're on a journey. And Elijah, verse 8, took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto him, Ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be into thee. If not, it shall not be so. And in other words, keep your eye on me. Now, it's easy for you to say amen. I'm sure Elisha said amen too. But he didn't know what was about to happen. How many people say amen, but then when the distraction shows up, they forgot they said amen? When you say amen, you better believe it. You better mean it, because distractions will rob you of that impartation. And it came to pass as they went still on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. That's the distraction. And horses of fire. And parted them both. In other words, that horse and chariot went right between them. Yeah. It's kind of hard not to look at that spectacular sight even far away. But when it's charging you and it goes right in between you and the person you're standing, it's very hard not to look. But remember the rule. He had to make a decision. I'm keeping my eyes. I'm keeping my eyes. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind, and Elisha saw it. Oh, thank God he saw it. Thank God he didn't put his focus on the chariot. Thank God he put his focus on the tornado and on Elijah. Imagine what that sight must have been, a man going up in a tornado. Imagine what that must have looked like. Obviously, it didn't just grab him and he disappeared in the funnel, because he said, if you see me as I go. So as he was going up in that twister, I mean, that's a phenomenal thing just to think about that. But he saw him as he literally ascended in a tornado. I mean, God is so cool. God could have just done it the way Jesus did. He just lifted off. He just levitated to heaven. But God likes dramatic things at times. He could have done it very simply, but he said, hey, let's throw a twister in there too. My goodness. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now we're in our plain of Jordan year. We crossed Jordan River. Now we're in the plain of Jordan, which is really technically between Israel and this country Jordan today, in modern day. I've driven there. It's where you go through Jericho, and then there's like basically like a little desert. And if you just keep going, you'll hit Jordan River. You go past Jordan River, there's more desert, and then you hit the country Jordan, which you can't go in without a visa. I've tried, believe me. I try everything that is illegal, but anyway. But right there, somewhere between in that Jordan, what they call the Jordan Plain, that's on the other side. It's on the east side of the Jordan River, going toward Jordan country. There, somewhere in that plain, this is the next season. This is where he said, if you keep your eye on me, this is where all this stuff happened with the horse. This is where the tornado came. This is where he saw him go. And this is our 2020 year. Now, of course, in that 2020 year, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know what the distraction is. I figured out halfway through March what the distraction was. It was something called coronavirus. And I knew that this was going to be a major distraction for me, but I knew I had to keep my eye on what Jesus was telling me, stay close with my Pastor Nancy, and not give way to the things that my soul and flesh would have wanted to give. It was a major distraction. I mean, you couldn't plan that. I mean, God planned this. I knew in 17 something was going to happen in 20, but I didn't know what kind of a distraction. It could have just been an internal family distraction. But it was a global distraction. And I kept my eye. I had to force myself to keep my eye on that prize. But then I was reading this verse 12, in the middle part about July. Because I remember I was going up to Oasis. And the day I was driving up there, God spoke to me. And I thought, well, I don't know what else this means. Lord, if there's anything else, you need to show me. Because I'm in the middle of this plain of Jordan. But I don't know what, the mantle's coming, but I don't know when. I don't want to miss it. You know, show me. And then I read this statement. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces and took up the mantle. And I said, well, I don't really like that one. So let's just keep reading past verse 12. And he said, go back and read that again. Go back and read that again. Go back and read that again. And he said, what do you think it means to take hold of your own clothes and rent them? He said, I can't give you the mantle until you've taken care of flesh.
Yes, sir.
Your things, your ambition, your pride, your all these things. And I said, well, Lord, I will rip those things to shreds. And he says, yes, but it's going to require fasting. I said, okay, I've done 3 days once before. I'll do another three. And he said, no, and this is over a period of time. And he said, no, I'm offering you a 40-day fast, and I want you to do it. And I'm telling you, that flipped me right out. I don't had no desire, and that's just not me. But he worked with me. I mean, telling you, when God wants you to do something, he'll work with you. She spoke to me multiple times in multiple ways. There was no question. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. There was no possibility that I was missing it. Believe me, I tried to talk him out of it. I tried to say that I was misinterpreting it. I tried every trick in the book. He knows all the tricks. But he kept coming to me. And finally, I said, okay. And I said, Lord, when do I start? And he was very specific on the date. I didn't know that because it was important that it ended on a certain date. I won't get into all that because I've never shared some of that publicly, but it was important that it ended on the 12th of December. But so to back that up, it had to be a certain time. Anyway, it was very, very meticulous. God is very meticulous, far more than you realize. He is far more detailed than you think he is. I've learned that about him. And so we started that fast, and I did it. Praise God. I went paralyzed on the 30th day. I couldn't move my arm, couldn't move my leg, couldn't walk. Felt like my heart was going to stop. Had to go and call an emergency doctor who referred me to another emergency doctor who referred me to another emergency doctor because none of them could imagine why would anybody fast for 30 days without going to a fasting clinic and checking yourself in for medical constant whatever. I don't believe in that medical nonsense, but it's not actually that much nonsense. So they told me what to do. If you don't get magnesium, sodium, and potassium within the next 5 hours, you could die. It's that serious. Because when you start going paralyzed, your muscles are shutting down and it can affect your heart muscle. So they rushed me. I had to get a massive dose of sodium, potassium, and magnesium. And within 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I had full use. Everything was better. And then I was so weak up to the 30th day. As soon as, it's amazing how your body works. Just as soon as those three minerals got into me.
Yeah.
It's like energy. It was like putting me on an energy drink. And it wasn't an energy drink. And I started having surges of energy I've never had in my life before. I started running on the treadmill over an hour a day. while I'm on that last 10 days of a 40-day fast. Because the energy just, I couldn't believe where the energy was coming. Anyway, that wasn't my job, was to run on the treadmill. I'm just saying, God help me. The first 30 days were wicked, but the last 10 days were glorious. And if I just learned a little bit in the natural and started taking those supplements with water to get those minerals in my body, I would have been fine the whole time. I would have not gone through the pain I went through. That taught me a valuable lesson. If you're going to play with your body, you better have some knowledge before you do anything extreme. The point is that at the end of that 40 days, Jesus walked in the room. Two angels were standing beside me, and he poured something over my head. I don't know what it was. It felt like kind of like a combination between oil and honey. I can't really explain it. But he said, I've anointed you now. That mantle has come that Dr. Dufresne saw. Arise and run with it. And that was a very important moment in my life, because this was the parallel that Elisha tore his clothes, and then he took up the mantle, verse 13, of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And the Lord said to me, in that last day of the fast, he said, once this happens, you are now retracing the journey backwards. He said, keep following this. I thought it was over. He said, it's not over. 2021 is going to be back at the Jordan bank. And then, of course, we went through 2021. That was a very hard year. And there was so much revelation that came, and yet so much opposition that came. And he said, well, what is that river? He said, when I opened that river, when the river parted, it's like a parting. It's like when God reveals things, it's like he parts things and he shows you things. So that represented revelation. And it still is an obstacle that you have to pass. And there was a lot of obstacles that year. But we went through it. Praise God. Then we get to Jericho, and it was the firsts again. And that's when he started dealing with me more about other areas of the ministry and a lot of things with Philippines and different things, assignments that I didn't know were mine. Just like Elisha didn't know that there were certain assignments that were his. He thought they were Elijah's, but they weren't, like turning the water from bitter to pure. There was a lot of things that happened in Jericho, and we experienced that in 2022. Then he gets to Bethel. This is his last part of his journey. He gets to Bethel. The kids come out. It's an attack. The power of God delivers him through those bears. But he's in Bethel, doesn't share much more about what happened in Bethel. But the Lord said to me, this is a season of attack. Get ready. And I've never in my entire life ever been through what I've been through this year. The congregation has no idea what I've been through. I do not tell anybody, not even the staff, half of it. The only person that knows is my wife. There has been so much that has happened this year that has been hellish on so many levels that people don't know. Because it's not my job to whine and complain and tell you. I'm just telling you it really was the year of attack. That's why I'm so grateful that in just a few hours, this year is gone forever. The attack is gone forever. That doesn't mean there won't be more attacks. I'm just saying the year of attack is gone forever. And this has been our Bethel, second time in Bethel. The first time was 17. The last time is 23. Now, I want you to just see that the plan here. In most churches, God doesn't, I don't know, maybe he does, but I know a lot of pastors, and I don't know any pastors that God deals with this way. So I'm not sure why he does it that way with me. I don't know. But I'm just saying he's so specific. And he gives me the plan every year. And I know exactly what's going to happen to some measure. I don't know all the details, but I know generally what that year is going to feel like, what it's going to be like, what is predominantly going to be the theme of that year. And every time in 7 years, it's been exactly the way he showed me. Yeah. Which is why I know next year it will be exactly the way he showed me. Because I have a track record of 7 years. Now have a look at the last verse all the way down in verse 25. And he went from thence. This is the 42 children get torn by the bears in verse 24. And he went from thence from where? From Bethel to Mount Carmel. And from thence he returned to Samaria. Huh. Now, it doesn't tell you any details about Carmel like it did the other areas. And it doesn't tell you any details about Samaria like it did the other stops. Now, this week, this is what I want to get to. I wanted you to see the timeline. But this week when I was praying, the Lord said something to me that was marvelous. And he started by saying this, look at the map. So I looked at the map. If you look at the map of where Bethel, Jericho, Jordan, it's all the way out here on the east of Israel. If you look at Carmel, it's way across the country on the coastline. Total opposite direction. And the Lord said, now I've been dealing with you about 2024 being a new year. It's a new phase. It's phase three. It's the end of those years of death. It's the beginning of the increase years. That you have an anticipation. The new season is upon you. But it's different. 24 is a different feel than going from 22 to 23. You know what it has the same feel of? Going from 16 into 17. Going from 16 to 17, I knew a major shift was coming. It was ending Gilgal and it was starting a journey. Now that this journey has gone for 7 years, that same sense I have in my spirit, I've had it all year, something major is about to change. Why? Because it's a major change in the spirit as we go into 24. It's all part of Hebron, that is the same. But in this parallel timeline with Elijah and Elisha, there is something big that is changing in the spirit. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. Just like I knew in 16 to 17, something big is happening. Now, I'm telling you, from 23 to 24, I've been saying it all year, something big is happening. In the spirit, something big. The natural will catch up later, but in the spirit, something big is happening. And the Lord said to me, just as a further confirmation, he said, look at the map. And he said, you see, all of this 7 years has been here. Going in these places and then retracing your steps. And he says, but now look where he went. All the way over there. Even geographically, it's a totally different place. He said, this season in the spirit, we're not physically traveling. This is a spiritual thing. But it's like we've been in one area for so long, we're about to step over into a whole nother area. Because Carmel is way over there. Now, listen to this. He said to me, he knows the word, he wrote it. He said, did you notice, which usually I haven't, but this time I had. He said, did you notice no details are given about Carmel or about Samaria? I said, yes, Lord, I did notice that. I noticed that. I don't know why, but I noticed that. He said to me, what is Elisha doing? From the time he left Gilgal, what is he doing? He is following his spiritual father. He went those destinations to get the mantle. Then he followed, he retraced the steps of Elijah back to Bethel. Yes. But Elijah didn't only go to Bethel. It's a different chapter. It's a different story in 1 Kings, not 2 Kings. But Elijah had a major encounter with God at Mount Carmel. And then when the anointing came on him and he outran Ahab's chariot, where did he go to? He ran to Samaria. What do you think Elisha is doing? Elisha is retracing the steps of his spiritual father. And when he got to Bethel, he said, there's more journey to go because my father also went to Carmel. And then my father ran ahead of Ahab to Samaria. So I'm going to go to Carmel and I'm going to go to Samaria. That's what he's doing. But watch now. No details are given about what Elisha did in Carmel or Samaria. So I have nothing to draw from in terms of what is this 24 year about? Because there's nothing told. All the other ones, they tell you what Elisha did. So I said, Lord, I don't know what this year is about. And this is what he said to me. He said, this is a baton handoff. He said he retraced the steps of his father, but it doesn't say what he did. So go back to see what the father did. And the details that you need will be there. Now, I knew that before. I've been studying this for a while. But this week, he said something marvelous. He talked about the map and it being such a different location, which is like it's just different. Everything's over here, and now all of a sudden you're over there. He said, in the spirit, things are changing for promise of life. You've been in here for 7 years. You're about to move over to something else. I'm telling you, I can't wait. I'm so excited. But then he said this, and he is very poetic. I heard these words. He said it loud, very clear, very, very crisp in my spirit. He said, the years of Elisha are ending. The years of Elisha are ending. And the years of Elijah have come. That's what he said to me in prayer 3 days ago. The years of Elisha are ending. And the years of Elijah have come. What is he trying to say? We've been for 7 years watching Elisha. But now Elisha continues on to Carmel. Carmel is 2024. We don't have details about what he did. So he's passing the baton, so to speak, so that we follow the storyline of Elijah, because all the details of Carmel are in Elijah's ministry. So can you see, I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but can you see what God is trying to say? He's saying, for 7 years, you followed this thing with Elisha, but the years of Elisha are ending. Because after Bethel, there's no more really about Elisha. But I put in my word that he still retraced the steps, so at least you know where the next destination is, because he went to Carmel and he went to Samaria to retrace his father's steps. But we don't know what he did there because it doesn't list it. So he said, to know what these other Carmel and Samaria represent for you, because they're all still part of Hebron season, look to the father. The years of Elisha are ending. The years of Elijah have come. I think that's so beautiful the way he said it. Look to the father. In other words, what Elijah did in Carmel,
yes,
is where you're looking now. What Elijah did in these years, because Carmel represents more than 1 year. And what Elijah did in Samaria, watch now, that's going to be your future.
Amen.
It's like a baton is being passed. It's like, for lack of a better way of saying it, it's like Elisha is saying, he's not saying, don't get weird, but it's for lack of a better way of saying it, it's like Elisha is saying, you followed me for 7 years. But it's time that you now look to the details of Elijah. So to keep you on the breadcrumb trail, I'm telling you, I went to Carmel and Samaria, but I don't tell you what I did there. You're going to have to look at what my father did there. Here's the baton. The years of Elisha are ending. The years of Elijah have come. I'm telling you, it's a pretty major change. It's a pretty major season. And in prayer, the Lord said to me one thing. He said, Elijah, the years of Elijah have come. And he said, part of what that includes, son. Now, there's a lot of different layers and levels and timelines and everything. But he said, part of what that includes is, he said, Elijah had raw faith.
Yeah.
Elijah had aggression.
Yeah.
Elijah had a different personality than Elisha. I'm not saying good or bad, because both of them have their own personality. But when you think of Elijah, the father, Elijah's the one that called the fire down. Elijah's the one that dealt with that Jezebel witch and that slit the throats of 400 of her prophets. Elijah had a raw, aggressive, bold. I'm not saying Elisha didn't, but I'm saying we see this image of Elijah very clearly through scripture, and he's fearsome to say the least. There's something about him that you don't mess with. Even kings didn't mess. And I don't know what it all means, but I just heard him say, the years of Elijah have come. They're come. They're here. They're starting tomorrow. And he said, there's going to be an increase of your rawness of faith, of your boldness, of your aggression, of your dealing with kings, dealing with people in authority, dealing with spirits in authority in ruling places. There's going to be another kind of anointing that comes on you, that not comes on you, that's not, it's already on us, but it's going to start to manifest more. It's going to start to, this mantle has been an idol for 3 years. It's going to get into first gear. We're going to start making movement, make forward motion. But in the spirit, the years of Elisha are ending. Do you realize for 7 years we've been on this journey? I don't think you realize how long it's been. 7 years. But the journey continues, but now it kicks up a level. It goes from Elisha to Elijah. The baton goes from him. Now we start following the scriptures of what the father went through in Carmel. And what the father went through in Carmel, I'm going to talk about on Wednesday, because it's very important you understand. That's why he said the first, he said, he gave me very, he's not usually this particular with me. He said, do not talk about what I've showed you about Carmel until the new year dawns.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is not to be spoken even in this year.
Yeah.
It's not for this year. This year is a year of death. This year is a year of Bethel. It is Carmel nuggets are not for this year. He said, you can tell them, and all you can tell them is the years of Elisha are ending, because they're ending as of tonight. But he said, you don't say a word about what I've showed you about the future. Those words can only be uttered in that year. It's for that time. It's for that season. So I'm going to share a bit more on Wednesday, but I just want you to know that we've been on a journey together as a congregation for a while. It's my job as the captain of the ship to know where to turn the ship. It's my job to know when something's about to change. That's why I pray. That's why I seek the face of God. That's why I don't consult with other people and their opinions, because they don't know the plan of God. Only God knows His plan. My job is to try to get it as best as I can. And I'm telling you, I don't know everything, but one thing I do know is I heard He said it so clear. He said, just like the map is completely different, this season is about to be, it's a totally different season you're about to enter. Just like you felt the difference of 16 into 17, there's a massive difference now changing from 23 to 24. You are going from following this parallel to following another parallel. Even though it's the same thread, but it's a different person. The years of Elisha are ending. The years of Elijah have come. And with these years, there's going to be an increased rawness of faith, an increased aggression, an increased authority. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be different. I don't know how to explain it beyond that. I just know, I know that I know that I know that I know. This is, we're on the beginning brink of the great days of revival. It's starting next year. I didn't say the revival is going to come into full swing. You'll know more Wednesday if you come. But something in the spirit is now being, it's like it's birthing and it's coming forth. It's like Jenny, it's like the 7 years is being tied off. And it's like now this new season is opening. It's like it's opening. It's all still Hebron, but we've ended the years of death. We've ended the 7 years of journey. We've been faithful to Bethel, to Jericho, to Jordan, to the plain, back to Jordan, back to Jordan, back to Jericho, back to Bethel. We've been faithful in these 7 years. Seven even means completion. Something in this timeline is now closed. It's closing tonight. And something as of tomorrow begins to open. I don't know how to explain it other than that, but I just know it like I know my name is Craigfield. And I know we're going to see what we need to see. We're going to start to see what we need to see this year. And you don't think that I'm hesitant to share that, because most people don't understand the things of the spirit. So they're going to show up and they're going to say, well, our service looks the same and the people look the same and the singing is the same and the preaching is the same. What's this big thing that he said is different? That's for people that are looking in the natural realm. They don't understand the things of the spirit. Things of the natural will catch up. Don't get me wrong. But things in the spirit are changing. And a lot of this has to be birthed in 24 in prayer. So that what God wants to show up in the natural realm in 24 will start to manifest, but it can't manifest in this realm until it's prayed out. And some of it, you can't pray it out until you get into 24. Some of it I couldn't pray out before because there's no anointing to pray it. Because when he said you're going into a new phase, that means a new house. That means we've left this house and now we're coming into there's rooms in this house. And sometimes you can't, just like in the natural, you can't explore the room until you're in the house. You can't pray certain things out until the time, the physical time, passes for that time. I can't pray things for next year in this year. To some measure I can, but not fully, because the anointing, I'm not in that house yet. But Jenny, this is where we are. The door is open and my foot is like this. This is where I'm at right now. In the spirit, this is where I'm at right now. I'm just waiting. As soon as that thing, as soon as that time switches over, as soon as that new year begins, I step. And once I'm in the house, on the porch, don't matter. Once I'm in the house, anointings will come on me to pray for that house, to explore the different rooms of that house. That's why certain things cannot be prayed out until 2024. And that's why you won't always see a massive change in the natural, because you can't see the change in the natural till you've prayed it in the spirit. But if you can't pray it in the spirit without the anointing, and certain anointings don't come till you cross that threshold in the 2024. Some things are physical with God. Some things are spiritual. Some things with timelines. He's like, no, I said to wait till 24. So you can't cheat and try to do something at the end of 23. Even though it sounds natural, it means something to God that you follow suit with what he said in natural timelines, because the spiritual is working with the natural. So we're going to starting tomorrow. I am. If you want to help me, you can, but I'm doing it. I'm going to start to pray. That anointing's coming. I can feel it. It's coming. And I'm stepping over. Tonight, I'm stepping over into that new place. Tonight, I'm leaving Bethel and I'm being translated to Carmel. Tonight, I stop looking at Elisha and I look at Elijah. Tonight, I get into that place. Do you understand? Those anointings are in that place to pray out. We start to pray. May not notice a lot of change in the natural at the beginning, but we start to pray. Because the anointings are in that house to pray, Jenny. Even what you've been touching in the spirit, you can't touch all of it because you have to be in that time frame Amen. First. And that starts tonight. Praise God. And as we pray things out, which you can't do some of it until you get there. But as we start to pray things out, then all of a sudden the natural starts to take form. The natural starts to take shape. Because what you're praying, it begins to form and take shape around that. And then your eyes see what you've been praying. But sometimes that takes some months, but you can't even start to do that until that season dawns. Sometimes God lets you pray in advance on certain things. But there's certain anointings you've got to be in that timeline. And I'm telling you, that's tonight, my brother and sister. I spend time explaining the timeline to you so that, because there's new people, there's people that haven't been here for, you know, not everybody knows this timeline. So that's why sometimes I have to repeat it so that everybody gets on the same page. But we have been faithful for 7 years. And the journey continues, but it is now, it's sealing and it's opening. And it's a holy thing to God. I'm telling you, it's a holy thing to God. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for the wisdom of God, for the mind of God, for you showing me as the pastor and my wife, Lord, what it is that you're trying to get over to us. Lord, I can't talk about Carmel right now because it's not time. We're not in that phase. We're not in that place. We haven't entered that. We're on the verge. We're on the precipice, but we have not stepped in until tomorrow. But Father, this Wednesday, I'll share some more about what Carmel means and what it's going to require of us. And also what 25, 6, 7, and 8 means, because you've showed me all the way through to 28. I know exactly what's going to happen every year in a general measure. I know when that building's supposed to show up. Lord, the time is going to go so fast. 7 years feels like a blink. The next 4 or 5 are going to be like a blink as well. But I'm just so grateful that we are hearing the heart of God on this. That we're not just grasping at straws and going after the next convention and the next popular thing in ministry and what this big preacher there says and what that minister over there says. Father, I'm not taking my cues from any minister on this planet. I'm submitted to Pastor Nancy, and what she and Randy and Jerry say are the emphases for this next year I will submit to. But Lord, I don't look to any minister for my vision. I look to you. And I spend plenty of hours waiting on you. And I thank you for showing me even more this week than I knew before. I thank you for the new season that is dawning. I thank you for the Elisha years. They have been precious to me and precious to Jenny and precious to this congregation. What we have learned in these Elisha years, of these 7 years, have been so valuable. What we've received of that mantle, it's so valuable. But now it's time for us to actually make forward motion. It's time for that mantle to go in the fourth year into gear one. It's time for this season to seal and for a new season to dawn. It's time for the Elijah years. Oh my God, it's time for the Elijah years. It's going to take that Elijah anointing to get us into that new building. It's going to take that, Lord. It's going to take a combination of that Elijah and Elisha anointing to get us into that new building. It's going to take that anointing for the miracles that have to happen. But Lord, we see with Elijah, miracle after miracle. With Elisha in Samaria, miracles after miracles. And you're going to do it for us. You've given us the charted map. You've given us the Rosetta Stone, so to speak. You've given us the plan. You've given me a timeline. I'm so grateful for the timeline. So that we don't move too quickly and we don't move too slowly. I'm so grateful for what Carmel holds. I'm so grateful for what it means. I cannot utter things until this Wednesday, but I will speak about it then because we're in the season then. I know it's going to be different for some of the folks that are within the sound of my voice. I know they're going to see some differences and they're going to see changes in their own life as well as this ministry. And they're going to question some of it. They maybe like some of it, maybe don't like others. But Lord, I thank you that they'll just trust me as we're in this Carmel season. Because as I'll explain on Wednesday, not everything in Carmel made sense. A lot in what Elijah did in Carmel boggled the imagination of the people present. And Lord, there's going to be a measure of that next year where not everything is going to make sense to them. But if they'll just trust me in my leadership and my ability to hear God, and that I'm not off the deep end, but that I'm still submitted to these ministers and I still have accountability in my life, but that we must move forward now in the assignment of Carmel. If they'll trust me in that leadership, Father, we will go together as a mighty church and as a mighty army, and we will fulfill the plan of God. So Lord Jesus, once again, I take this moment as we shut the service down. I take this moment to thank you for this last year we've had, despite it being very challenging. I'm still grateful because there were many moments of glory and revelation and help and deliverance. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, enlarge your picture for that 7-year period that you've allowed us to walk through, that you've caused us and led us to walk through. We, just like we were faithful from the time doctors saw the vision, in 2010 to 2016, we were faithful in the 6 years of Gilgal. Lord, I can now say definitively and knowingly that we have been faithful in the 7 years of Elisha. And now, Father, we look with great anticipation for the dawning of a new day, for the start of a new phase 3 of ministry, for the new house that we get to explore, the new anointings that are in that house. Lord, this season of Elisha is ending and this new season of Elijah is beginning. And there's different anointings that are coming that work with the mantle. It's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a time of stretching. It's going to be a time of being forced to use our faith more than we ever have, of being inconvenienced, of putting our flesh under and dying to the flesh more than we ever have. But it's also going to be a season of great glory, of great triumph, of seeing our God move before our very eyes in ways we have never seen. Individually and corporately. Lord, I am so excited. I can't wait for this new season to dawn so that we can get to work. But in this moment of pause, as we end this service now, the last service of this season of 7 years, as well as the last service of Bethel individually as the 7th year, we pause for a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed, and we just say, thank you, Jesus, for being so faithful, for seeing us through these 7 years and all the challenges and all the stuff that we've gone through in this 7 years. It has been a journey and a half. And thank you, Lord, for what is to come, that if you were with us for these 7, you will be with us for the next. And you will walk with us and you will take our hand and you will guide us and you will be with us every step. And you will reveal all of your plan, the greatness of your plan. You'll unfold it to us as the weeks and months pass. And we will be faithful in Carmel like we were in Bethel. And I thank you, Father, for this new season. I thank you for the years that are ending of Elisha and the years of Elijah that have come. I give you praise. I thank you for this change in the spirit, this new phase. Something new is beginning in the spirit. I'm telling you guys, something new is beginning. The years of increase have come. The years of increase have come. Father, for one, I am in great need of that increase. Not just financial, but in every increase of the anointing, increase of miracles, increase of salvations, increase of hunger, increase of the love walk, increase in every capacity of this church. Father, we embrace this new season with all of our hearts. Our foot is poised to step over that threshold, and we do it tonight. I'm grateful for this congregation that is with me, that I'm not doing this alone, that I've got a team of warriors with me, an army, just like Gideon. He pared it down from 35,000 to 300. And Lord, our church is like that army. It might be small in the natural, but in the spirit we are mighty. And we're going to do mighty things this year. And we're going to see growth in the natural and growth in the spiritual. And we give you praise. in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. I give you the glory. I give you the glory. And I give you the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Seal it, Lord. Not just by a natural date, but in the spirit. Seal this season. Tie it off. Open this new door. We step in. We step in. In Jesus' name. Amen.